Welcome to the Generations Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brian Nugent. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. For more information about Generations Church, please visit our website at gctlh.org or like us on Facebook.
Hey, this morning, if you've got your Bibles, devices, I'm going to be preaching out of Judges, the 15th chapter. I've been doing a series on Samson called Wasted Opportunity, Wasted Life. And so if you've missed any part of this, you can look it up on our podcast, or you can check out a previous video of that. And we're 2 weeks into it, so not too far. You can get caught up. So just kind of bring you up to date where we're at before we go to Judges 15. So Samson's parents, they were unable to have a child, and the angel came to them and said, I'm going to do a miracle and going to give you a child. So Samson had a miracle birth, and not only were they going to have a child there, but they were also, God had a plan. God revealed his plan that Samson was not just going to be a child, but he was going to be the deliverer of Israel from the hand of the Philistines. And then Samson had some really good parents. They wanted to do the right thing by Samson. The only thing the Lord told them concerning the raising of Samson was that the Lord wanted him raised as a Nazarite, which meant there were three commitments that they wanted him to be raised by, that he would not eat grapes or drink wine, anything that had to do with grapes. He would not touch anything that was dead, you know, that was ceremonially bad in the Old Testament, and that he would never cut his hair. So that was the guidelines of raising Samson. So that was kind of the first week. Then last week we saw, you know, Samson kind of veer off a little bit, get himself into some trouble. He persisted in a relationship that was not good for him. He fell in love with a Philistine woman, kind of gave his heart over to her. And even though there were all kinds of warning signs that this was bad news, Samson persisted in this relationship. He was hanging out in places that he should not be. He was not supposed to be around the vineyard, but you read the story, and Samson kept hanging out around the vineyard. He started keeping secrets from his family, and we just talked about anytime you start keeping secrets, whether it's from your parents or your spouse, trouble always follows. We saw that in Samson's life. And then at the very end, this whole thing, this whole life that Samson had constructed for himself kind of blew up. You know, his new wife, you know, they were separated. She was with someone else. There was violence in Samson's life, and everything that he had worked to up to this point was just gone. So I'm going to read in just a moment the verses from Judges 15, but I just want to remind you before we get there, before we get to read this, because you will see something in Samson's life that I want to kind of alert you to before we read that, that most everyone carries scars and brokenness and deep hurts in their heart. Most everyone's got some scars, some brokenness, and deep hurts. And that was Samson. I mean, he had felt betrayed. He had had a relationship that he loved, a marriage that he was, you know, emotionally invested into. He saw all of that blow apart. Now, he made some poor choices along the way, but now he sees all of this, and man, he's just kind of carrying some junk in his life. He's got scars. He's got brokenness. You know, he's got deep hurts in his life. And I just want to say that is not uncommon. That's just not uncommon in today's world, that it may be you or it may be people that you know, people that are carrying some things down in their life that they wish that they did not have. Now, you know, we deal with it several different ways. We smile on the outside while we've got brokenness on the inside. We want everyone to think that it's all good, but we're hurting on the inside. Or when we've got brokenness and deep hurts, sometimes We start self-medicating. We use pills. We use alcohol, whatever we can, to kind of numb what we are feeling on the inside. Or we isolate ourselves. We kind of pull back from people so nobody will really know kind of what we're going through, you know, kind of the struggles that we are facing. So I just want to say, if that's you this morning, I don't want you to feel like you are alone or your situation is uncommon. Most people are carrying some brokenness and deep wounds in their heart. But I want to say to you this morning that you don't have to carry that pain, or, you know, you don't have to carry that pain on the inside of your heart. At your lowest point, you will find Jesus, and he can help you with all that stuff that you're carrying on the inside of your heart. He doesn't run from you when there is catastrophe in your life, but he's there for you. So if you're here this morning and, man, you just got some stuff that you've been carrying for a while, we're going to give you a chance at the end to kind of offload and let Jesus do a great work in your heart. All right, so let's look at chapter 15, and so let's start at verse 1. Later on, at the time of the wheat harvest, so Samson's just gone through this breakup with his wife, so it's a few months later, all right? Later on, at the time of the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat and went to visit his wife. Now, I guess receiving gifts was her love language. And he brought her something that she felt like, you know, would make her happy, okay? So I'm just saying, men, you know, follow the Bible. You know, try this out for your wife. You know, if she's, you know, gift-giving, maybe a goat would kind of soothe some things over. You know, I don't know. Becky's got a birthday coming up. I'm going to be very creative here. So he brings a goat. He goes to visit his wife, and he says, I'm going to my wife's room. But her father would not let him in. And his father says, I was so sure that you hated her, he said, that I gave her to your companion. Isn't your younger sister more attractive? Isn't her younger sister more attractive? Take her instead. Samson said to them, this time I have the right to get even with the Philistines. I will really harm them. And toward the end of verse 4, it says, he burned up the wheat shocks, standing grain, together with the vineyards and the olive groves. He wiped out the whole Philistine economy. He wiped out how people took care of themselves and fed themselves. This was not of just convenience. This was how they fed themselves in that particular time. What he did, wow, that was huge. Let's look at Samson's anger. They say time heals all wounds. And I say not necessarily. Not necessarily. There are some times that you carry things deep. Some of you, it's been years and years, and it's still kind of prominent in your heart and in your emotions. So Samson, he finds himself a little predisposed. Okay, he's carrying some things that, you know, sometimes we think, well, that's all just in my heart, but it's not affecting how I'm functioning today. And that's just incorrect. So he's already kind of a little predisposed to having an issue here. So let's look at this. Anger is a natural God-given emotion to help us deal with displeasure. It's how God made us. It's how God wired us when he created us on the scale of, you know, on the scale of human emotions from joy to anger. It's how the Lord made us. And, you know, if you feel anger, it doesn't mean that you're not a Christian, all right? It just means you're normal. You're just normal if you feel the emotion of anger, especially if you have small children, right? We know anger. If you've got toddlers. I was pastoring in Kentucky. I was at the after church, and I was in the foyer. I was talking to some people. A lady came up to me. She had a really funny look on her face, and she said, "Hey, I don't know what to say, but your daughter Kelsey, she was 3 at the time, and I have her permission to tell this story." So she said, "Kelsey's down the hall, and she's taking off all of her clothes." Oh, my God. I mean, my breath just left my lungs. I ran down the hall. Sure enough, there's only a pile of clothes stacked up. I was praying that it was the return of Jesus. You know, I'll deal with the tribulation. Just get me out of this moment here. And there's only a pile of clothes. I open the door to the sanctuary, and there she is. And I go after her, and she thinks I'm chasing her. She takes off running, you know, across the sanctuary. And I finally, you know, I finally get her, and I grab her, you know, and then I realize I'm in public. So we do what every parent does. We act like we're concerned about their welfare. "Oh, baby, are you okay? Are you okay? Oh, when you get home, do you know what's going to happen to you?" Then I realize I'm the pastor of the church too. So, you know, Jesus loves the little children of the world. So if you've had small children, or you just go through life, there are all kinds of pains, hurts, frustrations, disappointments, bad choices that we make sometime where we find ourselves, you know, on the brink of anger. So Samson goes to the house that day, and he's probably in the right motive. He's got a gift, and he wants to reconcile. He's going to try to, you know, maybe try to smooth things over, but yet he's carrying some stuff in his life. You know, got some anger issues here, and he's already a little predisposed. So when this scene of reconciliation does not work out like he had it in his mind, he absolutely explodes. He just loses it. And that's what happens with anger. It starts to escalate in our heart, and before long, we have established that we have an explosive anger issue or explosive temper issue. Let's look at signs of anger issues. Everybody deals with anger, but not everybody deals with it the same way. So, signs of anger issues. Do you get angry more easily or more intensely than the average person does? Good question. So, do you have maybe your threshold for when you deal with frustrating moments is a little lower? You find yourself easily angered? You find yourself a little hot-tempered? You know, maybe your reactions are a little out of proportion to the offense, you know, that was caused. Maybe you find yourself saying, "I'm sorry," a lot because of your overreaction to the problem that you were facing. Maybe you've got an anger issue. Do your anger episodes go on for days? Do you withdraw? Do you sulk? Do you find yourself continually irritable and grumpy? Does this just kind of go on and on and on, and, you know, you just kind of maybe withdraw and you're on edge for days because you've been angry? You got some anger issues that you need to let the Holy Spirit deal with in your life. Because listen, we all go through things that make us upset and they make us angry. That's just part of life. But if you are always just flying off and you've got an explosive temper, then the very thing that made you upset, you're not healing it. You are hurting it. You're speaking, you know, explosive words. You know, you're not going to find resolution to the problem. So when you have an explosive temper and you speak things, I mean, the thing that made you angry that you're trying to heal, you're making just worse. And there's no resolution to it because of your anger. Well, here is how the Apostle Paul said, and it's just in a few sentences. It says, "In your anger, don't sin." In your anger, don't sin. So this passage is an acknowledgement of how God wired us, that we will be angry. In this passage is the acknowledgement that there are things that will come about in our life that cause great displeasure, and we will feel anger. But he said, when you do that, that's okay. Don't sin. Don't sin. You can be upset. You can be angry. But we don't have to tear people apart. We don't have to become violent with our anger. So he reminds us that we're wired this way. He says you're going to be facing things in life that are going to be difficult for you. But don't sin. In your anger, don't sin. And a little further in Ephesians, it says, listen, all bitterness, anger, wrath, shouting, and slander must be removed from among you, along with all malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. So he identifies some things that he says, take those things out. Frustrating things, frustrating times are going to come in our life. They're going to happen. Samson probably meant well. He thought this would be a good moment, and then something didn't go his way, and he had an explosive anger issue, and he made a very poor choice. So I want to say to you, if you're here today, man, you're just carrying some things in your life, you've got some hurts from the past. I want you to know there is help and healing through the power of Jesus Christ. He is there to help you, because if we don't, we find ourselves sometimes making situations worse, which is what he did. So let's go back to the story. He's burned, you know, all of the wheat, all of the grain. Look at verse 6. When the Philistines asked, who did this? They were told, Samson, because his wife was given to his companion. Look at this. So then the Philistines went up, burned her and her father to death. Immediately, they go execute her and her father. Then look at verse 7. Then Samson says to them, since you've acted like this, I swear I will not stop until I get my revenge on you. And he attacked them viciously and slaughtered many of them. And he went down and stayed in a cave. Wow. Anger. Let's look at Samson's anger and revenge. Now, I said it a moment ago. I may have missed it. I believe I missed the point. But anger is not a standalone emotion. Okay? It's not a standalone emotion. Sometimes it's supposed to be, but sometimes once we walk through the door of anger, we carry other things with it, kind of a dump truck kind of thing. Once it's on the scene, other emotions come with that. That's why he says, be angry, but don't sin, because if you're angry and you bring other stuff in, man, there's no telling what when you open the door, there's no telling what comes in. So he is dealing, he's got this revenge. Okay, so, wow. He burns their fields. They turn around and kill his ex-wife and father-in-law. And then he just says, I'm not going to rest. I'm not going to stop until I've executed revenge on you. So now we've gone from a harmless riddle that started in the previous week to now we've got death and destruction, of human life. The cycle of revenge begins. And if you're not careful, the cycle of revenge will never end. It'll never end. And this became Samson's, almost like his obsession. Look at the verse again. Samson told them, because you did this, I swear I will not stop until I've taken vengeance upon you. So it's almost, because this is what happens. You get angry, you get upset, you get hurt, and then all of a sudden you get in this revenge mode. I will even the score. You'll pay for what you've done. And it is a cycle that there is a lot of, there's a lot of carnage, innocent carnage on the side. Do you know what the FBI says? That every 48 seconds, there's an aggravated assault or a murder that they call crime of passion. Do you know what that is? It's when people get so upset that they become violent, They're angry at what somebody has done, you know, something that someone has done to them, and then they move to revenge, they move to violence. How much domestic violence do we have in our country because of, you know, tempers and revenge that are out of control? Can I say this morning, if you're a man, there's never a reason that we should ever raise our hands to our wife. There's never a reason. They call it a crime of passion. Sometimes you get so upset at something that's occurred to you and you commit a violent crime. How many people are in jail today because of crimes of passion, aggravated assaults, domestic violence that just kind of, you know, that just kind of got out of control? You know, our nation's history is well known for the feud of the Hatfields and the McCoys. Started in the 1870s. It went on for 20 years. Over the course of those 20 years, there were probably 10 to 12 people out of their families that were killed because of this feud. And you know how it started? Over a disagreement of a pig. Who owned a pig? I love bacon as well as the next person, okay? But it's just not, it just wasn't worth that. You see how things just kind of, they kind of cycle? Well, that's my pig, you know. And then one family, you know, they beat up, you know, one of the McCoys beat up one of the Hatfields, or vice versa. Then the Hatfields were so mad that someone beat them up that they kidnapped three of the McCoys and they executed them. 20 years this thing raged on, you know, over a disagreement over a pig, because once you get into obsessive revenge mode, you see no end. Everything's justified. What did he say? I won't stop. I won't stop until I exact my revenge. So it doesn't matter. Anything you say, when you get in that mentality, anything you say or do is now justified because you've hurt me. And man, things get out. They get out of proportion. Jesus even mentioned this connection with anger, revenge, and murder in Matthew chapter 5. Okay, he talked about this connection. He said, you're familiar with the commands of the ancients, do not murder. But I'm telling you that anyone who is so much angry with your brother and sister is guilty of murder, because he knows where it's headed. He knows the connection between anger and revenge and violence. Proverbs 29 says this: a fool gives vent to his anger, but a wise man holds it in check. A fool gives vent to his anger. There are people, when it comes to, you know, when they get upset, they have no self-control. When they get angry verbally, there is nothing that they won't say. They will hurt as deep as they can hurt. They'll use profanity. They'll raise their voice. They'll find the tender spots of someone's heart, and they'll just jam it in there, just because it says a fool gives full vent. There is no stopping that. And that's sad, because listen to me. If that's you this morning, you're harming relationships. When you give full vent, when you're angry and you're just, you know, you have an explosive temper and everyone's scared and you just say anything that you want, man, you are damaging relationships long term. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. 1 Peter 3:9. Here's the answer. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. Stop the cycle of revenge. Just stop it. That's what Paul said, all right? Don't respond evil for evil. Just let it go. Don't respond. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. Don't respond evil for evil. Don't respond insult with insult. Just don't do it, because it starts this cycle that never ends, and it only gets worse. It only gets worse. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, okay? But now listen. Revenge will only stop when we realize that God's the ultimate judge. God's going to take care of you, okay? Sometimes revenge is, you know, rooted in our heart that, man, I've got to take care of somebody that's hurt me. But I'm just going to tell you, you just leave that in the hands of the Lord. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. You just know that God is a judge. He's our judge. He's the ultimate judge. And whatever has come your way, God will take care of that, because revenge is not worth the price that you pay. You're the loser. We become obsessive sometimes in our thinking, in our anger, in our revenge. We become obsessive in that, and we lose so much time. We waste so much time on obsessive revenge. It's not worth the price. It's not worth the price. So, you're angry, you're upset, you're bitter, someone has hurt you. Give it to God and move on with your life. That was a good amen point right there. Give it to God and move on. Just let him have it. Just let him have it. Let's look at verse 18. Because he was very thirsty, Samson cries out to the Lord, "You've given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" God opened up the hollow place and water came out of it. And Samson drank, his strength returned, and he revived. Samson led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. So look at this, look at this last section. Going back and forth, they're killing, they're hurting, there's no remorse. It's so out of proportion. Look where it's gone from a riddle. Now, you know, look how far down, you know, and out of proportion it is. But now we see Samson. We see Samson's in a place where he can't help himself. He's running. He's in the lands of the Philistines. He can't go anywhere. His back's against the wall. He can't go anywhere. Can't do anything. He has no resources. And what does he do? He prays. He prays, all right? Now, how many times have I seen it in my ministry, and you've seen it in your life, you know, people get their backs against the wall and they call out to God. And I think it's a wise thing, all right? Now, this prayer is not the greatest prayer ever. You know, it's not a model prayer that we'll use on Wednesday night. It's kind of a self-centered prayer, kind of a God, get me out of this jam kind of prayer. But that's okay, because we'll just take what we can get at this point. So, man, he has no place to go. He has no help. He's got, the end result of a lot of poor decisions in his life. But I want to say this to you this morning, that God will use your circumstances to get your attention. God will use your circumstances to get your attention. So, you know, when you're headed down, you know, a wrong road, amen, and you find yourself in the ditch over decisions that you have made, poor choices, maybe someone has done something to you, and you find yourself in the ditch, I promise you, the Lord Jesus is not going to walk by and point his finger at you and say, "See, I told you." That's why we have parents. They do that for us. But what you're going to find is when you're in a jam, when your back's against the wall, when you've made poor choices, all your life is kind of collapsed in around you, what you will find is the outstretched hand of the nail-scarred Savior saying, "Hey, let me get in there with you." At your lowest point, you will always find Jesus. He's not embarrassed. He's not angry. He just wants to bring you out of that ditch, wipe that dust off of you, and give you a new life. That's what he wants. Sometimes a crisis can expose our own heart. Sometimes a crisis can expose our own heart. Now, look at this. He's praying, but his prayer has nothing to do with repentance, coming back to God. I've made errors, I've made mistakes. His prayer only has to do with, get me out of this jam. I'm thirsty, okay? So sometimes our prayer can expose our heart. Sometimes we can look, you know, we can look here and go, listen, Samson, your issue is not just about water. You got some other issues, you know, in your life. So sometimes those crises, there's something deeper that the Lord wants, you know, there's something deeper that he wants out of your life, something that he wants to say to you. He wants you in the midst of this crisis not to just pray for water, but he wants you to look at, while you are in this crisis, what's the big picture of while you are at where you are at? And he wants you to turn from that sin. He wants you to open your heart up to the wonderful grace of God. He just doesn't want to get you out of a jam. He wants to change your life. He just doesn't want to change your circumstances. He wants to change your heart if you'll let him. Now, we got a great thing on the computer. I love it. It's called the undo button. All right? Anybody thankful for undo? 3 weeks ago, I lost 5 pages of my sermon on Sunday morning. I was panicked. Thank God for undo. All right? Now, most undo buttons, the way they're set up, you can go back 5 different times. You can go back 5 spaces. Now, wouldn't that be nice? I mean, that's great for a computer. Anybody use that on a regular basis? I love it. I use it as much as I do the letter F. I'm just telling you. But you know what? In life, we don't always have that opportunity to go back and redo things. Wouldn't that be nice? If you could go back and redo your past 5 mistakes, they would all be done away with. Wouldn't that be a nice option to have in life? But you know what? Even if you had that option to go back 5 mistakes, if your heart's not changed, you'll make the same mistakes again. You'll just do it over. You'll make the same choices. And that's where it comes back sometimes, where God's going, hey, I'm just not trying to get you out of a jam. There's something that I want to do in your heart. I want to forgive you, and I want to walk with you. Matt, worship team, you guys can come. This is what he says. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. He doesn't ask you to go back, because it's impossible sometimes. He just said, we're going to start right where you're at with whatever you've done, whatever the collateral damage is for your life. We're just going to start right there, and I'm just going to forgive you, okay? If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. He's new. Old things are passed away. You can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. You just start where you're at now, and you let God work in your heart, and you change the future. You change the future. Samson found himself praying a very selfish prayer. God, get me out of this jam. Do you do that? Is that your prayer right now? But crisis exposes the heart in a greater way. Why are you where you're at now? What are the decisions that you made that led you to this point? There may be something more all-encompassing that the Lord wants to do in your life. He didn't want to just get you out of a jam. He wants to change your heart. He wants to change your heart, change your life. Worship team's going to come in a moment. They're going to sing. And then I'm going to come back. I'm going to make a few comments, but I'm just going to open the altar in a few moments. If you're here this morning and you're carrying some baggage and some junk in your life, and it's affecting you today, the Lord said, you don't have to carry that. Let me carry that. Let me carry that. I'll take that. You're hurt. You got some scars. You got some deep wounds. Let me take that. Why are you carrying that? Let me. You know what he said? Cast your cares on me. Let me shoulder that for you because I care for you. That's what he said.
This concludes today's message. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened. For more information, please visit our website at gctlh.org or like us on Facebook.